This is Reset. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, 25 years ago this week, Chicago experienced record-breaking heat.
It's hot. It's hot. I know.
It's very hot. Yesterday we broke all records. I hope we don't broke records. I mean, we all have our little problems, but let's not blow it out of proportion.
We had an extraordinary number of deaths from the field when the ambulances call us for medical control. And pronounced many patients dead in the driveway over these few days.
The most devastating impact of the heat can be seen at the Cook County Medical Examiner's office. 7 refrigerated trucks are in the back parking lot handling the overflow of bodies caused by a record number of deaths.
Could the city have moved in a more dynamic way and declared a state of emergency?
No, I think that the...
Your no is very quick.
No. Yes.
When the consecutive days of 100-degree heat subsided, Chicago saw 739 deaths from heat-related illness, the most casualties from a heat wave in American history. At the time, public health officials were stumped. Why did this heat wave kill more than normal? Scientists blamed a perfect storm of weather conditions. Politicians and city leaders blamed families for not checking in with their elders. And most Chicagoans chalked it up to just being hot. It wasn't until some years later that the true reason came out: race and inequality. All this week, we look back at the tragic events of the week of July 12, 1995, and explore what lessons were learned that could inform how we respond to public health crises like COVID-19 today. We start our series today with the voice that helped amplify the root causes of why 739 people died from the heat. Sociologist Eric Kleinenberg is the author of the 2002 book Heat Wave, A Social Autopsy of Disaster in Chicago. And Eric Kleinenberg joins me now. Eric, thanks for coming back. Appreciate it.
Hey, it's good to be here. I wish it were for another reason,
yeah.
But this is a conversation, unfortunately, we still have to have.
Well, so I remember, well, I was producing the time when your book came through and we had this conversation. This wasn't 2002, and you talked to Steve Edwards at 848 about it, but there really was, at the time, it was almost like a revisionist history. The way that people saw the heat wave is just like Mayor Daley said, it's hot. It's an extreme city. We have extreme temperatures. It's hot.
You know, I'm from Chicago. I grew up in the city. I finished the book when I was teaching at Northwestern. I feel the city in my blood the way so many people listening to the show right now do. And I wrote the book because I was so puzzled by what happened. I mean, when I heard people discussing the event in Chicago, the story of the heat wave didn't make a lot of sense. Hundreds of people in the city of great neighborhoods dying and dying alone in many cases because of something we seem to experience all the time. And then also this idea that so many people in the city had, like, maybe we were blowing it out of proportion, as Mayor Daley said at the time, or, you know, there was this question of whether it was really real. And I was so puzzled by it, I had to learn more. And so I spent years working on the book, precisely as you said, to try to change the conversation. And, you know, what I came away understanding is that this is not a natural disaster. This is a disaster of our own making that had everything to do with race and inequality and isolation and things that still plague Chicago today.
Well, let's go back to that week 25 years ago. You watch the media reports, even here at WBEZ, the stories are really about people stocking up on air conditioners and fans, that it's going to be hot. It was a weather story that really became the front page news. Walk us through what happened in those historic 5 days in July.
Well, you know, this heat system was announced. You know, people, meteorologists saw it coming, and they warned that it could be dangerous. And, you know, if you think for a second about what happens when a hurricane is coming towards a city, you know, we stop the regular news programming, we have these color-coded maps, everyone braces for the storm, political officials, if they're away, come back to manage the crisis. We don't do that with heat. And so as the heat was approaching Chicago, you know, meteorologists were frying eggs on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. News reporters were telling stories of air conditioning selling out in appliance stores. The mayor, the health commissioner, the fire commissioner, they were all on vacation and they stayed there. And, you know, no one issued an alert. And when the heat settled into Chicago, I mean, the heat index was 126. Yeah. Wow. The temperature was 106. This is not ordinary stuff. People turned on their air conditioning. The power went out for a couple of days. Water was out in some neighborhoods. You can't pump water into high-rise buildings. Thousands of people were getting sick and going to the emergency rooms. You know, Justin, a lot of people don't remember, about half of the hospitals in Chicago had to close the doors and couldn't take more emergency
patients. Bypass, right.
Exactly. And, you know, I have to tell you, these last few months, watching the COVID-19 pandemic play out in a very similar pattern, right? The announcement comes, political officials ignore the warning, dismiss them, question whether the thing is really real. The hospitals fill up. I mean, the inequality plays out along the same lines. It's been horrible for me to see it. But just to go back to 95 for a minute, you know, what really changed the debate in Chicago is Edmund Donahue, who was the medical examiner at the time, started to issue public reports. This number of people died today. This number of people died today. And the numbers were startling. And the Mayor Daley reacted very badly to those reports.
He did.
He thought that this was a guy who was politicizing the story. I mean, again, think about the moment we're in right now with COVID, right? Like, you know, scientists saying this is really dangerous, people are dying, and Trump saying, no, this is just the flu, it's not a big deal. I mean, it was a very similar
yeah. And it's amazing, right? Too, because even to the point where Daley pushed back, saying you can't blame all this on the heat. Someone has a heart attack, it's not about the heat. I mean, it's very similar to the kind of things politicians are doing today.
I mean, it's haunting. It's like there's a playbook that we started in Chicago. And here it is on the national stage. But in the city, what it meant in 95 is that instead of getting every city agency activated, calling in extra paramedics, sending additional resources to the hospital, getting police officers doing community policing work, knocking on doors, we were kind of acting business as usual. And there was a debate that was really like a public relations debate over whether the thing was really real, rather than an urgent public health crisis. And then it was too late.
Yeah.
You know, then suddenly there were so many bodies came to the morgue that there were 9 or 10 48-foot refrigerated trucks that, you know, went right to the Cook County morgue. It was overwhelming. And by the end of the week, you know, 739 people in excess of the norm died. This really stands as one of the major events in the history of Chicago. And, you know, I know we talk about it much more than we used to. I think Chicago thinks a lot about how dangerous the heat wave can be. But the underlying issues about race and isolation and neighborhood inequality, those obviously remain
all
to
still
this day.
There, yeah. Eric Kleinenberg's with us. He wrote the book back in 2002, Heat Wave, A Social Autopsy of Disaster in Chicago. Because at the time in 1995, it started out, and I remember and reading the book as well and watching the documentary Cooked, which came out last year or the year before.
It's going to be aired tonight on PBS.
Yeah, it's going to be on TGW tonight.
They're putting it out because of the COVID connection and how significant these issues are, that, you know, PBS is rebroadcasting it.
Yeah,
so
I just
people watch. It's a great film.
I did. I watched it last night. It's on Amazon as well. It's amazing, though, to think about how it kind of went from there. And there's a great quote that Daley has where he kind of chuckles about how extreme Chicago is. That's why we love it. And he laughs it off. And the first couple of days, he's laughing it off, just like you laugh off any kind of story that has to do with weather. And it wasn't until Donahue and the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office and the story started to switch that people were dying from this. Take us to that moment, because it became stark in the way that the messaging changed.
Well, you know, you're right. There is a sense that it always gets hot in Chicago. And I understood what Daley was saying. I mean, we are a big, great city. We take it, you know, we love to be the biggest, even when we're not, we say we are. And so I understood that idea. But it was like the city was not registering just how consequential this event was, just how much of a major health crisis it was. And it's true that the bodies themselves showing up at the morgue didn't do it. But when the Donahue continued on insisting that these were really heat deaths and people started to focus on what was happening, the narrative did change. Mm-hmm. And then the interesting thing happened is that the city kind of conceded that people were dying, but the reporting got really odd, Justin. And I still think this has made it difficult for Chicago to reckon with what happened. The Tribune published this story saying, the big headline was casualties of heat, just like most of us. And then the subheading under that said, many rejected any kind of help. And so then once we recognized the deaths, the story became, oh, this was an equal opportunity killer. And by the way, the people who died, it's their fault that they died.
Yeah. And you saw Mayor Daley get angry at Chicago. He got angry in a couple of clips where he said, check on your families, your aunts, your uncles, your parents. essentially, this is on you for isolating the elderly. And it rarely talked about the racial disparities and equities in the city and how this was affecting primarily black people. I mean, this really was. I mean, even black and brown, I would say, but Latino populations didn't see the same kind of reflection. But when you look at the South and West Side, and that's what the documentary that's airing on TTW is about, and your book, it shows the racial disparities of the city on full display.
You know, it's like so much else in Chicago. Everybody in Chicago knows that the city's organized around racial inequality and segregation. It's the structure of the city that we've created, and it just often goes unremarked upon. I think, especially in white communities, it's as if it's a natural part of the world and doesn't need to be commented upon, or it's too painful to comment upon because it means that we're all implicated in it. So, you know, do I think it's Mayor Daley's fault that so many people died in the heat wave? Not exactly. I mean, the city could have done a lot more to save lives. You know, they didn't declare a heat emergency until it was far too late. The policy response was horribly neglectful. I mean, people who are concerned about what Trump is doing right now, the dress rehearsal was in Chicago. So clearly, Daley could have done more. But when I wrote my book, I became convinced that everyone in Chicago is implicated in this event because we created a city, we have sustained a city that is massively vulnerable for far too many people. And basically most of us in Chicago just let that order go. Yeah. You know, we're fine with that. And the city has failed to treat the emergency, the slow motion emergency of racial segregation, of inequality, of isolation, with the seriousness that it deserves. And, you know, my book is about the heat wave, but it really is a book about the structure of Chicago. And that's why I think today, as we find ourselves in the midst of this horrible pandemic, and now with the climate change and the heat coming, the underlying issues that make certain people in Chicago, certain places in Chicago vulnerable, they're still there.
There was a moment, Eric, where Chicago could have set the agenda for the future. And that was a task force that was put together after the fact to write a report on what happened. And in that report, it was startling in your book and also subsequently in the documentary, but it was startling how they really almost buried what we're talking about, the racial inequities and the disparities were buried. Really, it was about meteorologists saying, wow, when you have these three things come together, anything can happen. Almost like you were saying, like this equal opportunity killer.
I mean, look, they buried a lot more than that. I mean, first of all, you need to know that the city council in Chicago refused to hold public hearings. So 739 people died in a week. The city had totally bungled the policy response. Everyone's implicated. The city council refused to hold public hearings. I mean, think about that first. Next, the mayor organized his own commission. And what did they bury? When they published the report, it did not have the words heat wave on the cover. So the title does not include heat wave. And there's a snowflake. There's a picture of a snowflake on the image of this report. You know, it was a report that was designed to hide everything inside of it. And then once you got, so nobody noticed it, by the way, and more on media, when the city council voted not to have hearings, because some people had proposed it, it was kind of buried on the inside of the metro section that the news that there was going to be no hearing was next to news about some kind of dog leash law or something like that. So I mean, it was just very hard for people to process what had happened. And, what I have found is that the city lost its opportunity to really learn something from that week.
Yeah. As we look right now, and we're going to be talking about this all week long on Reset, Eric Kleinenberg's our guest here today. He's the author of Heatwave, A Social Autopsy of Disaster in Chicago, which he published in 2002. When you think about what's happening now with COVID-19 and the lessons learned from the heat wave, what's the connection to you? Because we talked about throughout this interview just the idea of you can see it all kind of playing out again. But is there at least improvements when it comes to city awareness, to preparations, to understanding that racial disparities should be top of mind when it comes to these kind of pandemics or natural disasters?
I mean, the city is very good on heat waves specifically. You know, when a heat emergency comes, people know about it. When it comes to the underlying vulnerabilities, it is in our vocabulary. I mean, Mayor Lightfoot understands this issue very well and has been a leader on some of them. It's not as if we don't say it. I'm just not persuaded that when it comes to actually committing resources to setting a policy agenda, to pushing for change, the city is putting its money where its mouth is. We haven't done that for a very long time. And it's very easy to talk about these things. It's very easy for me to take a public position that I'm against racism and I'm for social justice, whether it's in general or in the city of Chicago. It is very hard to actually change the way you govern and allocate resources to do something about it. Yeah. And I guess one of the things I'm seeing as COVID-19 hits Chicago and other cities like it is the most predictable patterns about race and inequality and vulnerability are playing out once again. And they're playing out because as much as we can talk about this stuff, if we don't commit resources and change the way we organize our neighborhoods, the level of protection that would provide for vulnerable people, improve the quality of healthcare, all these things, we're going to find ourselves in this situation in crisis after crisis. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether the trigger is the weather or whether it's a novel coronavirus.
Well, you had a piece in the New York Times recently about the idea of isolation and social solidarity. This concept of a lot of what happened with the heat wave was about people being isolated. And yet here we are in COVID-19 where the instruction is to isolate. And how do we kind of wrap our heads around that?
Well, what I said there is that, you know, the story that we got immediately with the pandemic was we need social distancing, right? Social distancing is what was going to keep us alive. And I thought, God, that's exactly the wrong message. There's never been a time when we need to look after each other and be socially connected, right? It's not social proximity that puts people at risk of getting coronavirus. It's physical proximity. You don't want someone breathing and coughing and sneezing on you. But if you're socially close to them, if you're checking in on people in your life, if you're finding out what you can do to help, dropping off groceries or medical supplies, you know, attending to one another in the short term, that's exactly what we need to do. It's social solidarity that helps us consider the fate of our neighbors and people around us. That's what makes us decide to put a mask on and to wash our hands and to stay home when we're feeling sick, which right. is the kind of behavior that we're not seeing enough of in the United States. So when we act as if the only thing that matters is our individual freedom, right? What I can do, what I have the right to do, and we neglect our responsibilities to each other, our demise. And I fear, Justin, that's what's happening around the country right now. I mean, Chicago's better than a lot of places, but I'm in New York. We had a really tough run here. It's just going to take a huge amount of vigilance to keep things down here and to get things down around the country. And you can't do that if your priority is social distance. You can only do it if your priority is looking out for each other. And that's solidarity yeah. and cooperation.
Sarah Kleinenberg, he's a sociologist and author of Heat Wave, A Social Autopsy of Disaster in Chicago, written in 2002, really the definitive book on the heat wave. Check it out if you can. Eric, thanks so much for joining us and kicking off the week this week. We appreciate it.
I'm so glad you're doing this week. And to everyone in Chicago, I wish you good health and the best of luck.